Warm greetings, friends, near and far. The Lord Jesus Christ be magnified forever and ever. His loving kindnesses, tender mercies, and compassions are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. His mercy endureth forever. This is Sinner Saved coming at you with the following short evangelistic gospel message, which is sponsored by Preacher Wayne Boyd and the Brethren in Christ at First Baptist Church, located in Almont, Michigan, USA. And God willing, this broadcast will reach you, Lima Charlie, loud and clear. It is my hope and prayer unto God Most High, the only Holy Father, that his only begotten Son, Christ Jesus, the Lord our righteousness, be greatly exalted, that his everlasting gospel be clearly proclaimed, that the pride of mere flesh and blood men be humbled, and that his elect saints be greatly encouraged and comforted in these evil and perilous days. Please consider having paper and pencil handy to jot down the scriptural references for your own follow-up study. And so we begin with the weekend gospel message to follow. For all hands, heads up! Please find enclosed encouragement in so great salvation by the perfect and finished work of our Lord Jesus Christ in saving poor, needy, and wretched sinners by his sovereign free grace, that is to say, Almighty God, and his unmerited favor to save me and you from our sins and from hell. Friends, the following was said by self-righteous religious rebels who hated the Lord Jesus Christ. From Luke 15:2, they scorned and they said, "This man," speaking of the Lord Jesus, "this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." There are two kinds of religion in the world. One is where a person has a real knowledge of himself as a sinner. The other includes many branches, and almost all who hold it acknowledge man is sinful by nature, being taught it from childhood. Yet they do not feel sin has separated them from God, but think they can approach him by some good work. To be sensibly knowing you're a sinner brings a big burden. You feel the coldness it brings upon you, the disinclination to approach God, and it distresses you. It brings discomfort. So naturally, if something cold is applied, you feel the discomfort. And if it were continued, you could not live. You feel warmth to be applied to remove the discomfort. Those who feel the cold that sin produces need to come to the fire for warmth. They are ready to give up prayer and reading, but they cannot. If you are hungry, you must eat. The hunger is so uncomfortable. If you are cold, you require warmth for comfort. You feel, praying in your heart, "Lord, I am cold. Let some of thy rays fall on me from thy habitation. I am helpless. I feel I cannot pray. Give me a prayer, O Lord. I feel my failings and am sorry for them." That makes a coming sinner. And God says in Matthew 11:28, "Come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." For these, Jesus Christ the Lord, came into this world. He receives them. Matthew 1:23, "His name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. For this purpose he left the skies and took upon him the form of a servant, that he might come to them, and they to him." They must do so. They are separate from all others. There is a barrier between. Others work for themselves to make themselves so-called acceptable to God. The sensible sinner wants Jesus Christ to work for him. He cries, "God, be merciful to me, the sinner." It alters the whole character, faith, conversation, pursuits to be a sensible sinner. That is to say, if you know you are a sinner. When God withdraws the power of his grace from his people at times to show them what they really are, they have a discovery of themselves that none have, but such as have grace in their hearts. None but these cry, Lord, don't leave me to that, or Lord, don't leave me to myself, and loathe and abhor themselves. There is such a callousness about sin that when it works, it hardens more and more, and the soul dreads to be left to it. Lord, sooner let me feel the smart, the pain, that is, than be callous and insensible of sin. Lord, I am a beast. No good thought can come out of our hearts unless the Lord puts it there. Not a thought in prayer nor in confession unless he gives it. John the Baptist said, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. It is of no use to tell a child of God to repent and be sorry for his sins. That is what he's doing every day. But that does not take them away. It is of no use to tell him he must be humbled before God. That is what he is every day. But his humility will not cleanse his conscience. There is only one thing that will do it. There is a fountain opened for sin and uncleanness. 1 John 1:7, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Hallelujah. That alone, nothing else, will take sins away. That is the object set before the sinner. That blood was shed for the remission of sins, for nothing else. The soul is fixed upon it. Oh, that I might be drawn into that new and living way and find access to God through the death of Jesus Christ. These sinners Jesus Christ has to do with. He has not to do with all sinners, that is certain. You may feel such things that you think he can have nothing to do with you, but this is true, friends. All the fitness he, meaning the Lord Jesus, requireth is to feel your need of him. The sun might have shone upon this world in all its splendor, but what of that if there had been none to need it? The grace of Jesus Christ is for every sinner that feels a need, that is dark and needs light, that is cold and needs warmth, polluted and needs the fountain opened for sin and uncleanness. This man, the Lord Jesus Christ, this man receiveth sinners. None have this discovery of themselves in this life without grace. We will let alone what all have will have in the next. I could tell a natural man what he is, but he would not believe it. He is spiritually dead. The word Pharisee is taken from the same word as sanctified. It means set apart from all that is evil, from evil company, as the Pharisees thought they were. And the Pharisees said, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. He will ever receive sinners. Only for them he came. He never sent away a sinner, but eateth with every one. To eat with another is a pledge of lasting friendship. If he eats with you once, it is a pledge he will again. If he does so today, he will tomorrow. It is a pledge he will never break fellowship with you, that he will never forsake you. Have you found his words and eaten them once at any time? He will be with you to the end. He will always receive you. There is this word for you to go upon. Seek and ye shall find, said the Master. If you go every day to Christ Jesus, he will receive you every day. His friendship is everlasting, friends. That was preacher Joseph Hatton. You and I stand on the verge of an eternal world, and unless God himself say to the soul, I am thy salvation, we must eternally perish. The great body of professors of religion are quite satisfied in talking about or hearing of a salvation. They tell us what great salvation God has accomplished for us, but if we will but close in with it, if we will but do our part, and other professors please themselves with talking about the discriminating doctrines of the gospel and more or less ridicule the inward teachings and workings of Almighty God, the Holy Spirit in the soul, and the feelings of the poor sinner under them. But whenever the Lord, the Holy Spirit, circumcises the heart of a sinner by the knife of the law, he lays his heart open and lets the contents of the heart begin to ooze up with abominable filth, guilt, and horrors. Nothing will then do for the soul short of the Lord speaking and saying to such a soul, I am thy salvation. That was old-time preacher William Gadsby. 1 John 3:16, speaking of our Lord Jesus Christ, he laid down his life for us. Here is the most profound, sublime, and glorious truth that human tongue can speak, proclaimed in seven simple, one-syllable words. There is not a long, complicated word in the entire sentence. Great thoughts can always be expressed in simple words, such as thank you or I love you. But feeble thoughts need to be dressed up in rhetoric and fine language. Someone said, today's intellectuals need Latin words and confusing sentences to express their feeble ideas. But God's servants are always content to preach the gospel in the spirit and with the understanding. We do not preach for admiration, but for edification. We do not preach to impress men, but to instruct them. That was from preacher Henry Mahan in the year of our Lord, 1986. And this short message is entitled Comfort. How sweet the following considerations be to a distressed believer. Number one, there most certainly exists a almighty, all-wise, and infinitely gracious God. Number two, he has given me in times past and is giving me at present, if I had but eyes to see it, many and signal intimations of his love to me, both in a way of providence and grace. Number three, this love of his is immutable. He never repents of it or withdraws it. Number four, whatever comes to pass in time is the result of his will from everlasting. Consequently, number five, my afflictions were a part of his original plan and are all ordered in number, weight, and measure. Number six, the very hairs of my head are every one counted by him, nor can a single hair fall to the ground but in consequence of his determination. Hence, number seven, my distresses are not the result of chance, accident, or a fortuitous combination of circumstances, but, number eight, the providential accomplishment of God's purpose. Number nine, they are designed to answer some wise and gracious end. Nor, number 10, shall my affliction continue a moment longer than God sees meet. Number 11, he who brought me to it has promised to support me under it and carry me through it. Number 12, all shall most assuredly work together for his glory and my good. Therefore, number 13, the cup which my heavenly Father hath given me to drink, shall I not drink it? Yes, I will, in the strength he imparts, even rejoice in tribulation, and, using the means of possible redress which he hath, or may hereafter put into my hands, I will commit myself and the event to him whose purpose cannot be overthrown, whose plan cannot be disconcerted, and who, whether I am resigned or not, will still go on to work all things after the counsel of his own will. And that was from preacher Augustus Toplady. It is written in Isaiah 45:22, where our Lord Jesus Christ commands, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. And our beloved mighty master also says in Matthew 11:28-30, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Friends, it is imperative that you flee to Christ Jesus today, not tomorrow. For none of us are promised another day on this planet. Today is the day of salvation. Call upon the name of the Lord while he may be found, and seek him while he is near. only by being in Christ, the ark of our salvation. May we be delivered from the fierce wrath of Almighty God, which is coming soon upon the wicked. This about wraps up this evening's broadcast. I trust Almighty God will awaken his sleeping elect and draw multitudes of men, women, and children around the world to his only begotten Son, Christ Jesus, the Lord our righteousness. Yehovah Tzidkenu. Bless the name. Baruch Hashem. If you are led of the Lord to contribute funds to sponsor future shortwave world band radio broadcasts, then please go to wwcr.com and get their mailing address to send your donation. Please remember to indicate that it's for the storm warning broadcast. Of interest here is that there are hundreds of millions of poor folks that don't have modern computers, laptops, smartphones, or tablets, but hundreds of millions of people have the old shortwave radio, inexpensive radios, and that's how they're able to listen to this gospel message. I greatly appreciate those of you that have donated. In doing so, you are propagating Almighty God's everlasting gospel around the world and to the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ, the soon coming Son of Righteousness, rising with healing in his wings unto those that fear him in his holy name. Talk about a glorious future, people, all of us in Christ. Awesome. Everybody outside of Christ is going to be toast. If you'd like to communicate, then please feel free to write. The email address is thelordbemagnified@gmail.com, and please indicate what country you're from. Tell me what life is like where you live. Tell me how the reception was on your radio, and I look forward to writing you back. Again, write me at thelordbemagnified@gmail.com. Great is our Lord Jesus Christ, and greatly to be praised. Take heart, friends. Our mighty and glorious King of Glory is inbound for his afflicted saints. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Maranatha.